On this Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice that our nation might be free. And probably 20 or 30 years ago, we expanded that memory to those of our loved ones who have passed away. I got a call this past Thursday night from a family in Wakefield. Actually, they're neighbors. Dad is on hospice. Can you come? So Pat and I went, of course, and gathered with two of his three sons and a daughter-in-law. And we prayed and read scripture, shared memories. And then about 30 hours later, this family's patriarch slipped into eternity. Is there any experience in all of life more agonizing and more heartrending than to experience the death of a loved one? To sit day after day at the bedside of someone who has meant so much to us. To see the growing steadily weaker, to feel the slipping away in our grasp, and to hear the heavy, irregular breathing, and to know that there's nothing we can do to stop the inevitable. Many of you have been there. We try to be brave, but our consuming thought haunts us in our waking and in our sleeping. Our beloved companion for life's journey will soon be gone, and we shall be forced to bid farewell, one last, ultimately final farewell. How shall we ever face the pain of that separation? Soon they'll pass into a coma, that suspended state between life and death, alive, but not to us. Breathing will become harsh and heavy and erratic, and then stop. We shall be standing there looking at what seems to be a vacant house. There's only one thing in all the world that can ease that pain. Only one thing can make the unbearable bearable. Only one thing can provide a glimmer of light and hope. We cannot call it any other thing than the hope of reunion one day and the hope of heaven. Amen. It was Thursday night. Jesus and his 12 friends have just shared their text, we called it the Last Supper. Let me read from John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Now, Jesus tells them three things. One of the very number would betray him. Another would deny him three times. All would flee in fear, and I am leaving you. I will be crucified. Their beloved companion on life's journey will soon be gone, and they knew that they had nothing to reach out with to help or to stop this unbelievable prediction. Yet Jesus, in amazing love, ignores his own pain and fears of betrayal and denial and injustice and isolation and physical anguish, and speaks the familiar words of our text recorded by John. Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust God, trust also in me. The disciples did not doubt that God would take care of them somehow, far off in the future. But what was throwing them into severe turmoil was that Jesus was leaving them that very night. They were being abandoned tonight. Jesus says something like this: look, friends, I know that you trust God. Will you trust me too? Precisely in these circumstances, believe that I know what I'm doing, and that I'm going away for a purpose, and that that purpose will be fulfilled, and that I will again return to you so that we will be together. Will you trust me in this now, tonight? Will you believe what I've taught you about truth and love and the future, about myself? I know you trust God. Will you trust me just as much? Then it goes on to say, in my Father's house are many rooms. Now, some believe that suggests different grades of and ranks of blessedness in heaven. I just prefer to simply believe the lovely meaning that in heaven, there's room for all, for many rooms. Earthly houses can become overcrowded. Sometimes the inn is full, must turn folks away. Not so in our Heavenly Father's accommodations. Jesus says, there was no room for me in the inn, but in my Father's house, there are many rooms, a room for you. And then he adds, if it were not so, I would have told you. Here we again benefit from the honesty of Jesus. If you shouldn't trust in God, I would have told you. If you shouldn't trust me, I would have told you. If my Father's promises are not dependable, I would have told you. I have a room for you, and if it's not true, I would have told you. And Jesus never withheld the truth. He never softened the truth. Jesus turns and says, friends, I know you want to believe me. I know you look forward to reunion. I know that you want to have hope in heaven. That's the Father's promise. And I would have corrected you if it wasn't. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. One of the greatest teachings in the New Testament is that Jesus goes before us and we follow. That's a very secure position to be in. I remember years ago as a teenager, just getting my license, I didn't always feel sure about which way to go. And my father would often lead the way. I remember once, him and mother, I followed them into the heart of Philadelphia, the city that he grew up in. We moved rapidly, turning, shifting lanes, taking shortcuts. And at one intersection, he got through the light, and I didn't. I became nervous. I lost him in traffic. Many cars turned into those intersecting streets. They got ahead between me and Dad. All I knew was that he went straight. Had he noticed that I didn't make it. When the light changed, I sped ahead looking carefully for him. And what a relief when I spotted him off the curb, emergency lights flashing. He was waiting for me. Jesus has gone before, and we follow. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. And I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And Jesus made three promises that night to his friends. My Father's house has many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will return so that we will be together. Now, Christ's promise of return should bring great hope to every heart. But sadly, in our day, the promise of Christ's return receives an odd treatment, even in his church. There are Christians who disregard this teaching entirely, never say anything about it. And of course, there are others who preach nothing else. It goes without saying that if we are to remain loyal to Jesus, we must believe what he said. He is returning. And if it were not so, I would have told you. History must have an end. And then the Christian faith always identifies that end with the triumphant return of Jesus Christ. That's where the world's history is going. And isn't it comforting to know that he's got the whole world in his hands through all of this? We know not what is coming. We know who is coming. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, I can rejoice in that hope, no matter what. A missionary was teaching his student about Christ's coming. And he quoted from 1 Thessalonians 4:16, a verse you've probably heard. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven and shout a loud command with the archangel and the trumpet call. And one of the students asked him, what will he shout? What will Jesus shout? And the teacher responded, well, we should be careful not to add to the Bible, you know. The student wasn't satisfied. He said, you haven't answered my question. What will he shout? What will he command? The teacher didn't speak right away. Then he said, he will shout, enough. Enough, enough injustice, enough lying, enough poverty, enough mass shootings, enough war, enough, enough, enough. D.L. Moody used to tell the story of a child whose mother became very sick. A neighbor took the child into her own home, loved her, cared for her, trusting that the mother would get better. But instead, she kept getting worse and she died. The neighbor thought it best not to take the girl to her house till after the funeral. When the child returned to the home, she started looking for mother. First in the kitchen, living room, upstairs, basement, backyard. And at last the child returned, where's mom? And the neighbor told her mother had died. The child thought for a moment and said, I don't want to stay in this house if mama isn't here. Can I go with you back to your house? Heaven is to be with Jesus. And to be with Jesus Christ is the promise extended to all who would believe. This Memorial Day, I invite you to trust in the promise of God. It is part of your Christian heritage. There's a room for your loved one, and there's room for you. Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray. Eternal Father, help each of us to hear and build upon your truth. Increase our trust in your promises to us in Jesus. And may the hope of heaven grow deep roots in our lives, that we may be confident and filled with your peace. And thank you for such a rich heritage preserved for us and extended to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.